I'm going to share with you an order from Rav Huttner. Chazal talk about the Dalai Golius, and they talk about Choshech, that Yavan is Choshech. Shehishech Enem Shal Yisrael. So he sees that Choshech. The Pshuta of Shal Mikra says, they said in Chalek L'Lekhe Yisrael, that we spoke about that last week a little bit, in the Kud of Chalek versus Sholem. But there's another Likud over here of Choshech. And he has this aura that we know that till the Bayis Sheni, there was quote unquote no machlokes in Yisrael. What do you mean there's no machlokes in Yisrael? They sat and they learned, they discussed things. But they were able to come to a final resolution. They were able to come to there was an aura in the world, there was a clarity in the world, which allowed Klai Yisrael to come to a final resolution each time. They would go to the Sanhedrin, if necessary, they would go to the Sanhedrin HaGadol. Sanhedrin Gadol would discuss this, and they would get to the point where they would be Omer Laminyan, and they would come to Hachra. So there was a final decision in every Shaila in Klal Yisrael. There was always a final decision. You can imagine we're living with the world that you know what to do. Clarity. Rabbi Lyman one time told me that he had this Sa'ara, Rabbi Yashar, Zichli Bracha, in the earlier years. Anytime somebody would be Mechabed him for some of the calls, he would come. So one time when he was learning in America the Torah, so one of the Yigalite had a bris, and he invited Rabbi Yashar to be the sandok. So the Rabbi Yashar came to the yeshiva, so people were lining up to ask him shailas, you know, as he's walking through, mutter aser aser mutter mutter chai potter, like boom 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 boom. And he's like, wow, it's so nice to live in a world with clarity, like you know what to do. We live in everything. Maybe yeah, maybe no. I'm unsure. Like really clear. Yes, no, clear. But all of Klai Yisrael had that hachra. In Bayis Sheni, in the beginning, still you have that same situation. In the beginning of Bayis Sheni, you have Ezra, and then you have Shimon HaTzadik, and then when the Zugas start and they have a machloikis in regards to Smicha and Yom Tov. And it continues through all of the Zugas, the Mishnah says in Chagiga. They couldn't come to final hachra. Each one of them, there was a machloikis, each one had the machloikis. What's the din? Whether you can do smicha on a korban nedava on Yom Tov or not? Hillel and Shammai were the last pair of zugas. Hillel and Shammai had three other machloikasim. So now there are four cases where Klai Yisrael did not come to the final hachra. So that was it was a tremendous chiddush to Klai Yisrael. They never had such a thing in the history of Klai Yisrael. Klai Yisrael there was a clarity exactly what to do. Everybody knew what to do, and that was it. If there was a machloikis, they came and discussed it. Eventually, the Sanhedrin Nagala would make a hachra, and that was it. They had a Sanhedrin, they couldn't get to hachra. They couldn't get to the point where they presented it clearly enough that they had the tutsdarim that could give the army the minion and make a hachra. And Hillel and Shammai have three more arguments. So now we have four machloikis and machloikis. So next generation, Shalashim Shul Rebbeim called Tzarchim, and now there are hundreds of machloikas in Tei Meisham Beis Hillel. And now NASA, the Mor says NASA Kishtei Torahs. Can you imagine the choshech that Klai Yisrael felt? That started with Yavin. This is the same Tekufa as the Yavin is ruling over Eretz Yisrael. Yavin is affecting Klai Yisrael. They were not able to. The clarity wasn't there anymore. The Hikshich Neyim. That's the choshech of Yavin. Klai Yisrael is left with this. We have. Can you imagine a Klai Yisrael which is unified? There's that everybody has a clear halacha. It's the same halacha of everybody in Klai Yisrael. There's no machloikasim. Everything has a hakra, and it's gone. It has to be choshech. Pashat the mamash. The world turned dark. We have a gula. We have a gula from Yavin, but we still have machloikas. So what happened? We're celebrating the gula for the gula. If you're celebrating the gula, so why do we still have machlokos? Machlokos. If you want to be correct in your dikta. See, he says a fascinating ha'ara. There's this difficult concept called elo ve'elo dibur lekim chayim. We lost clarity, but we gained Torah. Once upon a time, there was one Torah. Now, Elo Ve'elo Dibur Lekim Chayim, there's two Torahs. there's 10 Torahs, there's 100 Torahs. You have 10 people who made some, each one has their own mahalach in the sugyas. They're all true. So now we have 10 pshatim, which we didn't have before in Torah. So what's this concept of Eilu Be'elu Dibur the Kim Chaim, and how is that, quote-unquote, the Nechama, the Geula, which leads us to this day? So, I heard this word from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zichron Livracha. This is 1976. So I was by, it was Motzi for Pesach, and I was by Mishpacha for the Suda. And at the end of the Suda, so I was the guest, I was sitting up in the front. And at the end of the Suda, one of the sons made a Siyam and Mishnayis Shas. So in honor of the Siyam, besides the family, they invited a few close family friends. And this was a Mishpacha, which was an old Motzi Mishpacha. They've been there for years, so they're very close to the Yaakov. So Yaakov came for the Siyam. The other family friends was the Feibelson and Reb Breslauer. It was all like, you know, the Rabbanim and the Shashivas, etc. of the city. It was a very nice. And I was sitting up front. They put Reb Yaakov right next to me because I was the guest and he was the guest. So I was sitting between Reb Yaakov and the Baal HaBos. That's where I was stuck. Not a bad place to sit. So after the Bacher made the Siyam, so Reb Yaakov said a Hadron. He said a Hadron on the last Mishnah in Shas. So last mission says, now I would like to say I remember it clearly, I think I remember it clearly, my Yiddish at that point in time was still not perfect, obviously said it in Yiddish, but I'm going to say it the way I remember it, and hopefully it's correct. So there's two parts of the last mission. Last mission says that, the first mission point of the mission says that, Osu Kadosh Baruch Hu L'Hanchol L'Chol Tzadik V'Tzadik Shai Olamas. Shemar lahanchal over Yesh, which is Mamale. Yesh is Begimatria 310. The second half of the Mishnah is Omer Birsim Chalafta, Lonzo Kodesh Brochel, Kleem Asi Brochel Yisrael Allah Shalom. Shemar Hashem Azdom Yitain Hashem Yverechazam Abashalom. Right? That's the last Mishnah in Shas. So, why is this Mishnah here? Why is this the last Mishnah in Shas? And what's the Hemshech of the Mishnah? There are two different things. The first, the Nakud is about person is going to get scarred on Lamha, but the second point is about Barsham's Master, Kli Master Baruch Yisrael Shalom. What's going on in the Mishnah? So he says, so the Tosfos Yom Tov says, the first point of the Mishnah, the Tosfos Yom Tov explains why it's here. He says, why is this the last Mishnah in Shas? Because in Chara, you went through all of Shas. So there are Mekayivim, and there are Poitrim, there are Oisrim, and the Matirim, and all these Machlokes we had, Matamim, Matarim. So the Tosfos Yom Tov, you might think that the Tana that we pass can like, gets more schar. So it's like the Mishnah, no, kol tzadik v'tzadik get shai alamas. No matter we pass it, you or not, doesn't make a difference, you still get the same schar in alamah. So Yaakov asks, so why does the Mishnah use the lashon of tzadik? Like, why is it in the Likud over here of tzadik? He says, in lashon HaTorah, tzadik means the one who's right. Parshas Kiseitze, they go to, two people go to Bezdin, v'hitztik was a tzadik, v'shir is a rasha, the one who's right, is the tzaddik, and the one who's wrong is the rasha. And that doesn't mean that he's an evil person. It means in this point, he was rasha. Rashi is in Lashon Marshia, means to be off mark. So he gave a bayishpiel, he gave like, you know, a scenario where that would play out, with a little giggle. It's my first time it was introduced to Yaakov's giggle. So he said, imagine there was a din Torah between me and the Satmar Rav, Yaakov said. Satmar Rav was obviously a big tzaddik. And I won the din Torah. So, ich volkevent dem tzaddik, and the Satmar Rav volkevent dem Rasha. I'd be the tzaddik, the Satmar Rav would be the Rasha. And he giggled. Right? So, why is it just saying over here, tzaddik with tzaddik? Why does that the Nakuda? So he said there's a medrash in Parshas Bereishis when the Rasha was sitting with the Malachim and discussing, should the Rasha create? Rashi was asking the Malachim, should he create man or not? So there's a Machlokes in Shemayim. So Emma said, Al Yibore, because they're Darbei Sheker. Chesed said, Yibore, because they do Chesed. Sholem said, Al Yibore, because they are Oysa Mochoma. And Tzedek said, Yibore, because they do Tzedek. So And that's two against two. So what do you do? So Bereshit took Emes like the Medrash. The Hashem Emes Arsi threw Emes down to the world. So now it's two against one, because Emes is out of the way. Two against one, he passed to make create Adam and he created Adam. That's the state Medrash. Hashem Emes Arsi. So the Medrash, you might think that now that Emes is stuck down in this world, different pasuk says Emes will Titzamach. Emes will come back. Will sprout back up and come back up to Shemayim from the arts. So the Torah, the funny message. He says, what's gate to four in the message? What's gate to four in the message? All right, what's happening over in this message? Zakti said like this. He said that the Bereshit made each person with a certain chulas and nefesh. And from that person's vantage point, what he sees is correct. Rav Dessler gives a marshal. He says, if I show you a piece of paper, the Velt says that, you know, imagine you have three blind people and asked to describe an elephant. And the first blind person goes and he touches the trunk. So, and that's an elephant. Says it's a very muscular, thick, hard type of a hide, moves around a lot, etc. The second one touches the tail. It's thin, very easily moves. The third one touches the leg. So they're all going to describe an elephant to you. Are they wrong? No, everyone is describing exactly what they see, and they're 100% right what they saw, but they still didn't describe an elephant. So I show you a piece of paper, he says, and one of them I show the piece of paper facing towards the person. One of them I just show them the side of the paper. So he says, well, paper, I never saw paper in my life, but it's like a line. That's all he sees, is a line. He says, why? I see a whole sheet. What are you talking about? You're wrong. You know, it's ridiculous. And we have this argument back and forth. They're not wrong. Neither one's wrong. They both were 100% right in what they saw. So the same way that's true in the physical world, that's true in understanding Torah, understanding life. We have different ways of seeing something. And we're not wrong. Each person is a tzaddik. He's a tzaddik. He has a good point. He's righteous in what he's seeing. He's not wrong. So the problem, the reason why there's going to be Muhammad is because I see it my way, and you see it your way, and you are both right. The worst fights are between two people who are both right. When you have the fight, but the one guy is totally wrong, the one guy is totally right, usually it works out. Because the guy eventually admits that he's wrong, but the person who believes that he's right, and he sees that he's right. He said, I see that I'm right. Where's the room for, how are you going to figure this out? So that's why there's not going to be Shalom in this world. So Bereshit said, okay, I'm going to put into this world an overall hechatimsa of how to address this issue. And Bereshit put down an emes of the Torah into this world, which allowed us to address this issue. So that's the Hemshech of the Mishnah, he said. Each person is a tzaddik. This person, Bereshit, made me a certain way that I should see this Likud of Torah. That's why he made me like this. So means that the Bereshit put Ayin Parim L'Torah, and each person has a different way to see one of the Panim, because he has a certain Tchudas HaNefesh. The Goyin says that there are Ayin Koichas HaNefesh, and that's connected that there's Ayin Parim L'Torah. So if you do your math, I'm not going to do the math for you, right? Let's say for argument's sake, each one of those koichos ha-nefesh is possible on 10 different levels. I could have pen number one, pen is, pen nun is one of the ifanim, one of the ponim, right? Pen number one, I have a one. Pen number two, I have a five. And, you know, I have 70 different tchus ha-nefesh, all one at different levels. So there's a lot of different possibilities, how we should all see the world, right? So what I'm seeing is a facet of Torah which nobody else in the world is able to see. And my facet is right. It's emes. It's tzedek. But we can't live like this. So the Russian put an overarching emes, a way to find, a way to come to a clarity how to deal with it. So this is totally psak. So the Russian says, we have Mochama down there. They're not shalom. Russian, I'm going to make shalom. I'm going to make shalom in the world. I'm going to give them a kli which will allow them to figure out how to deal with these issues. So by putting emes in this world, I've addressed the tine of emes and the tine of shalom at the same time. So now I can be your bar. So you think that emes is God? There's no emes anymore? No, there's emes. Emes means tzitzmah. The Rishon created an overarching emes of how to deal with things. There's not the Mishnah. Each one says tzaddik but tzaddik. Each one is 100% right. Gaval mevelt, rip kliyos all apart. Rishon's master bracha hashalom. Shem oydam ayitay, Shem berachas amav hashalom. Now, I don't remember if he said this or not, but there's a medrash that says, Ein oiz al Torah. It brings up, the medrash says that oiz is referring to the Torah. Could be, I don't remember if he said that point, but I'm assuming it makes sense as what he was pointing, he was saying. So, Stam, he did say that. That's the Hemshel Mishnah, he said. So, there's a morale. The morale says that we, Tfilis from Mechudim and Akono, he would go, he'd enter into Beis Medrash to learn. He would daven, and he shouldn't be nishum dar alocha, vismin chaverai, shal kashu dar alocha, and they're going to be, yismin chaverai, I should be nishal and vismin chaverai, they should be nishal, v'esmat b'ahem. So what's the Mishnah say? So he said like this, the Rosh made the nature of Jews, Jews are contentious. If I, you say A, yeah, I say B. And I had a chaver, his favorite line was extra fakert. Like, you know, whatever you said A, whatever you said something, he said extra fakert. I mean, how for care? I don't know, but extra for care. You know, like there has to be something other way to look at it, you know? So why the Russian makers like that? I have this conversation recently, you know, that in South Korea, they're very big in studying Talmud. They decided to look into why Jews are so smart and so creative and innovative, etc. It says, you know, Jews study the Talmud. So there's a big thing now in Korea. The Koreans get our Gomorrahs, and they study Talmud. So it doesn't work. What's innovative about Jews is not the learning of Talmud, it's the Chirusashaft. Koreans are too nice to bit for that. Like, Jews, there's no nicety by Jews, you know. The Russian made us Badafka different. He said, you know why? Because that creates a rebate of Torah. So I say Pshat Nemor like this. You say, well, that's ridiculous. That's Pshat Nemor like this. And I'll prove it to you. So I said, that's not a good raya. I'll ask you a kasha. I'll tell you a teretz. So they got another kasha. So Rabbi Yochanan said, he would say something, Rishlosha would ask him, Yud Gimel Kushyos. He'd bring 13 rayas that he's wrong. He'd bring 13 terutzim why he's right for each one of the kashas. There was a rebate of Torah. Rabbi Losha says, you're right. He says, Shkoyach, I don't need to know that. He'd bring 13 rayas that he's right. So he said, I don't need your rayas. I know that I'm right. I need you to challenge me. I need you to, I'm going to get clarity in Torah by being challenged. The more you're going to see that, so Zotav Maral, so if I say A, we assume you said B. So if I'm wrong, it means you're right. You're going to gloat over me. Ha ha ha, that's trait. I shouldn't mean this with our love, because I'm afraid that you're going to gloat, and if you gloat, you're going to get punished from Shemayim for gloating. That's what I'm worried about. See, that's the Taishish Pshat in the tefillah. And vice versa. It might happen that if you're wrong, means I'm right. V'esbabahem, I'm going to gloat over you that... That's a dangerous thing. So, you know, let's try and maybe stay away from that. So, the Rosh Hashanah B'davka gave each one of us a chelek in Torah. B'davka gave each one of us a nekuda of Torah, which we see from our vantage point. That was a chiddush of Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebichsav, bias region of Torah Shebichsav, what Torah Shebichsav includes all the Tanakh. Means what they were living was a world where this could be written down. This could be made, as it were, somewhat static. Somewhat, this is reality. There's nothing to budge about it. By Shani, you couldn't put it, Chanukah was the first Yom Tov, which was Meloid Nitin L'Kosev. It's not about Ksiva, you can't write this down. It's growing, it's living, it's expanding. The Beis Halevi says that Batson, that's a Luchas Shniyus. Luchas Rishonus, everything was written down, Chazal say. Kol HaTorah Kula, Torah Shel Peh was also written. Beis Halevi says in a drash. Once Klai Yisrael was chaytah with the Chet HaEgel, they're going to be under the sheets of the Ummah. The Rishon says, you know what? They're going to claim everything. They're going to claim the Torah for themselves. Torah Shel Chsav, Torah Shel Peh, they're never going to be able to claim because it won't be written. So what's going to happen? You're going to be the kli for that. So Moshe Rabbeinu comes up to Shemayim. He's ready to rewrite the whole Torah. Moshe says, no. Not going to read out the whole Torah. So the matter says that Moshe Rabbeinu was zeichet to the the Karin Arpanov to the Ziv of Torah, Ziv which came out of his face. Where is that? That's from the extra Diyo which is left in the Kumas. What's extra Diyo left in the Kumas? So the Rebbe says, because the Aleph by Vayikra, he says, no. Moshe Rabbeinu planned to write the whole Torah. Rashi says, no. This part of Torah is written in you. Not in the Lucas, in you. So Mela, obviously, if it's written in you, you're going to shine. What was Niskarish and Bayesheni was, yes, there's going to be Machloikis. Yes, there's going to be a point where we see it differently. Yes, there's going to be, but Rashi says, Madafka. Because now you are going to be Torah. You're the chefs of Torah. Your hechatims of seeing it is what I want you to see. I want you to see that nakuda, which is different. I want you to understand that you have a valid way of looking at something. And you're bringing out a valid point. And there's something element of Torah which is only yours. And you're going to find that. Not once, not twice, but constantly. As long as you're willing to follow the quote unquote the rules of searching for Torah with honestly. With MS, you will find something that nobody else found. That's how we're going to address the Choshech, because every Gula wasn't complete. Adam has all three Gula, all three Golios in it. Rav Dessler writes, the final Gula is when Mashiach comes. But what's going to allow us to overcome this Golos? They say Rav Salanter, when Reb Chaim Brisker was young, they brought Reb Chaim to see meet Yisrael, and he spoke to him on learning. And Yisrael said that, the Rosh Hashanah created a new mahalach of learning which is going to help the next generation deal with their issues. Till, 100 years ago, the study of the science, knowledge, it was tempting, but it wasn't so tempting. There's a rebuy of knowledge, there's a rebuy of science, there's a rebuy of understanding in the world. It's fascinating. The war is boring. No, it's not. Rav Chaim introduced, there wasn't a mahalach of learning, he introduced a mahalach where you're thinking, you're challenging, you're creating what's going to allow us to overcome the final challenge of Yavon. Where they're shining a light of knowledge at us. The guy goes to college, and you see, they have this, the syllabus, and he tells you we're getting the first class, we're going to study X, next we're going to study Y, and we're going to point to ABC, and it looks so clear and so beautiful, and it's such a clarity, and it's interesting, and it's fascinating. What are you going to do? I'm going to memorize some Gemara, learn some halachas. That's going to make you feel like, Torah is as interesting as that. I'm running over time. I just apologize. I'm sorry. I started a little late. I want to finish off this Nakuda. So add the Sa'ara once and finish up with the Sa'ara. As learning Mechavusi, we're learning Hilchos Sittas, Be'im. I was learning it for Seder, actually. So we're learning Be'im, Mamish. And you get to Simon Ches, which is Be'im Hilchos Sittas. The beginning is like, and you get to, towards the end, there's five Sifim which deal with the issue of when you make a new bracha, when you don't make a new bracha, when you took off the talus. You took off the talus. It took up a talus, it fell off by itself. It took up a talus to be mafsik for Americhats. And each sif stands by itself. And look at the sif, right? That's not how you learn halacha. You learn halacha, you understand the lamdas. Why? Why is this true? So by Chumash we're learning, we learn the first sif, we worked it through, and said, okay, we understand why. Here's the lamdas. Got the next sif, and it didn't work, didn't fit. Said, okay, scratch that, try it again. So we came up with mahalach, we explained both sifim. So tests and yud now make sense. I got the yud aleph, scratch that one, didn't work. Start over again. It's happened five times. And by the fourth time, fifth time, it's like, we had a cloud which fit all five cases. Why does Shomar just tell me the five cases? Tell me one cloud, instead of tell me five cases, and waste all my time. Just tell me the cloud, it covers five cases, great. Instead of giving this case and that case, and this case, figure out the rules. It doesn't make any sense. Just tell me to lump this, and I'm good to go. Why do you give me cases? Most of Shas is cases. It's not lump this. Most cases, we have to figure out the lump this, but most cases, the more the more gives you a case, and gives you a psak, gives you two sheikhs, whatever it is. And like, now what? Okay, I memorized, there's a case, and there's an answer. So, you know, science is fascinating. You know, these things, you go to school, it's fascinating. None of you probably... there's something used to be called the World Book Encyclopedia for the, you know, once upon a time. They used to have these, like, beautiful pictures of, you know, describing the body, the anatomy. And they have these, like the glossy overlays, you know, clear glass, you know, just so you had the body, and then you had, you put on top, and you had the lungs and the heart. And then you had put, you put on top of that, you put the skeleton. And, how, like, and it looked like so... Right? We open up a body during surgery, it don't look like that. It's a mess. You know, it's not really like this is gray and this is red. It's all the same color and it all's one big mass. Mm-hmm. It's nice, you go to science class, I tell you earlier, when you start dealing with the case, the leverage you're trying to figure out, it doesn't help you. Just figure out why something is, what's the lumbus, what's pushing? You know what? You're very nice. I wake up in the morning and the person says, listen, Reingold, you're going to go through six scenarios today you're going to have to deal with. This is what I want you to do. Gewaldig, right? Sign your loving father in heaven. That's not what happens. The person sends me the head, gives me the case to deal with. He doesn't tell me what to do. So how do I know what to do? I have to sit and think and figure out what's the problem here? What's the nakuda? What are the nakudas? How do I address them? Well, where'd you learn to do that? That's life. Life is cases. Life isn't rules. You don't walk through rules in your life. You walk through cases in your life. You walk through issues. And you should figure out what's going on over here. What's really the issue over here? What's really the problem? How do you address it? What are the nakudas? That's learning Gemara. You're looking at the case and like, what's going on over here? What's really going on? What's the lumnus? What's the hekatim? What's really, that's the training. So it sounds very nice when you learn the you know, the Gemara is like back and forth, like, you know, this way, that way, maybe this, maybe that, what about that? Like, just tell me the final answer. Suddenly you learn people, like, you're being introduced to the Gemara first time, like, you're like, they hate it. I was teaching a Haskalah's Gemara class in Tel, in Cleveland. There was these two fellows. One was in who's who in chemistry in the country. One other was the top IT person for a multi-billion dollar company. They never learned Gemara before. They're Bali Tshuva. And it was like, you know, they were like way behind the ninth grader. Because this idea of the back and the fourth and the rise and the, so, you know, give me information back, you know, I can deal with it. So I said, when you're dealing with a problem, you have to solve your IT problem. What do you do? Well, you take this possible and that possible. Huh? Okay, that's what Gemara is. He says, when you're a chemist, you're trying to figure out, create this new product. What do you do? He said, well, these are our goals and these are the possibilities. And we discuss the possibilities and we think what the issues might be. That's a Gemara. So now their lies lit up. Ah, I get it. That's life. Gemara is about life. Gemara is, but it's not just memorizing information. It's the lumnus, it's the challenge, it's the svora. And when you tap into that, you're tapping into a tool which will allow you to understand that we have something which has greater clarity in many ways. Greater clarity, even when we don't get it all right. Then all of that, the knowledge that Yavin is throwing at us. So the Choshech and the Shicha created an or, which that or is the or which will take us all the way to the moment of Mashiach, as Hashem.